Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Evan and Tiki here on The Fan. 888-808-1019. Sean and Tiki with Loogie along the way. Here is Evan, I think, heads to North Carolina for his 4th of July holiday. He was up in Vermont. I don't know what's going on with him, but, you know, he did tease us with something Friday before we get back to your calls on the Knicks. Tiki and I were both at Red Bull Arena Saturday night.
Fantastic.
Love the Red Bull Arena. First time I ever went, and I want to apologize to all soccer fans for being a hater before. What a different game and environment in person. Was unbelievable. But the takeaway, Tiki took me up to a little swankier suite than I was at the 50-yard line. And I have to say, the advice I gave Evan on the difference between looking at a view from the 10-yard line right. in an NFL game to the 50.
It's midfield in soccer.
Okay. Well, I'm trying to relate this to the audience. Midfield. It is truly a bigger difference than I realized. And Evan's dilemma, if you didn't hear it, he's going to buy Jet season tickets. And he had two options. First row from the 10 or second row from the 50. And how did he weigh people getting up in front of him? And it looks like he's a week away from revealing this. He's going to buy the tickets on the 50.
Yeah.
And we might have helped sway him.
It's funny because I took Sean up to the owner's box with Mark, who is the president of the Red Bulls. And we were sitting there watching the match. And it's a beautiful view. You see everything. It's like all 22 film.
It's great.
We watched a goal develop, the equalizing goal.
A lot of high fives, too. It was great.
It was awesome. My boy Chris in the suite next door to us.
Who's standing in a Metro Stars jersey. That's an OG
right.
fan.
He's been there for a long time. And I look over to Sean, and I was like, Sean, I think we led Evan astray. Because we were talking about first row, be on the first row. Even if it's on the 10-yard line, it's not going to matter. The view is still good. We're sitting over there looking over the pitch, and we're like, I think we got to tell Evan. Yeah. He's got to go 50-yard line.
And where I was with Tiki was higher than where I was. So I was lower on the 10, a little higher at the 50 midfield. And I think Evan is going to make that call. So it looks like Evan Roberts coming to a second row 50-yard line upper deck for you at Chet home games this year. And as if Evan needed more season tickets. Knicks, Nets, Mets, and of course Jets. Unbelievable.
Right. He won't do Islanders because he can't compete with the basketball, the Nets and the Islanders. Just
look, Tiki, we're married. Tommy's married. Could you imagine telling your wife, not only do I have season tickets to both basketball teams in town during the winter, honey, I'm also going to get Islanders season tickets over at UBS Arena. That's a tough one.
Right. That would
be I am a clown.
Yes, that would be difficult to sell.
But he apparently has made that Jet choice. And as you can imagine, no flight to North Carolina. Another car ride with the Roberts as the dog makes a million pit stops along the way. More thoughts on the Mets. Evan's team. He did a live Rico last night because, of course, why wouldn't he after telling us he was going to take
the Braves? Was he in the car?
Yes.
He's in the car with his mom, dad, or mother-in-law, father-in-law, wife, two kids, the dog, and he's doing a Rico?
From what I understand, unless they pulled over into a rest stop for him to do it, Pete Hoffman, who co-hosts and produces the Rico with him, I think was capable to host one without him. But Evan told us last week in an office, I can't wait to take a break from sports for a week.
He did say that.
And on the very first day of true vacation for him, he's taping a Rico from a car ride to North Carolina.
I mean, was it Sunday? Did he go Sunday or did he go Saturday?
Yesterday. I know because I was on the air. I filled in, did the show for Lori Rubinson last night, 9 p.m. to 1 a.m. And live on my Twitter, he put, just recorded a Rico from the car on my way down to North Carolina.
So it was last night.
Last night.
So I understand why it was last night then because they lost the series. For the first time in, eight series? They've won series, and their bullpen just completely imploded again in a way that it hadn't in a long time. So I can understand. It almost feels like the Mets needed an emergency Rico.
And I think he puts him out Sunday night anyway. Hoffman couldn't handle that for one night.
I mean, I didn't listen to it. I usually do listen to the Rico. I didn't. And you know what? I listened to him, right?
Because that's where you get all your men in from?
No. I watched the Mets game.
I know.
I listened to the Rico so I know what Evan's going to want to talk about when he comes in. I need to get a sense of his mind. And so I listen to the Rico on my way into work usually. And I'm just like, this is what Evan's going to say.
I should start
doing that. This is what he's thinking. I used to do it with One Giant Step with you as well.
Hey, comes back tomorrow.
Does it?
Oh, we're relaunching, baby. We're gonna have episodes after every episode of Hard Knocks. One Giant Step returns.
Nice.
After we were canned for a month and a half. Kiss my fat ass!
But anyways, I listened to it so I know what Evan's gonna, like, what he's gonna want to say or what his mood is. And so it's actually really helped me to prepare to get ready to listen to Evan's preparation for the show.
And you didn't have to listen to it because you're working with me
today. And I didn't listen to it today because I know I'm working with you. And I know what we're going to talk about. Giants tomorrow, by the way.
I love it.
We also learned that Evan is a liar. Like you pointed out, Sean, he said to our boss, Ryan Hurley, and all of us sitting there at the Cadillac Club, that he is so excited to take the week off. We know Evan loves the 4th of July, named the cat Freedom, sprinkled the ashes at Gettysburg. He's a big history buff. He said he's going to unplug himself from the station and everything. We've heard from him every single day he's been on vacation, and it's not like we're texting him. It's coming from him.
Yeah.
He did the Rico Bronya last night, and then he called Beningo on Saturday.
Excuse me?
Not as Evan Roberts, not as a guest, not like Joe reached out, hey, bro, I need you on the air. He called him as Evan in Vermont, caller, and spent 12 minutes. This is what my lackeys tell me. He spent 12 minutes on the air with Joe on Saturday. So he hasn't unplugged. He can't stay away. He's addicted to the station.
Wait, what did he call about the Mets?
Who the hell cares? I mean, he called for 12 minutes. Who knows? As Evan in Vermont. So he must have been in Vermont on Saturday. And somehow he's going to North Carolina.
Evan in Vermont. Evan, how are you?
I just wanted to give you an update. I'm at Lincoln's family home up in Vermont.
Embarrassing.
And all I can think about is how the Brooklyn Nets sold Mikal Bridges to the New York Knicks. Very distracted.
So he went to see Evan. Where Abe Lincoln went to prom, and all he could think about is the Nets. What?
Hey, at least we have a leader of Evan and Tiki, who is 100% dedicated to our show. I mean, he could be doing it with his wife, he's thinking about the show.
He's at a president's house in Vermont while me and you were like, we'll get a beer at the Red Bull.
Exactly, or two.
Unbelievable. All right, Mario in Long Beach. Mario, I think I just talked to you like 10 hours ago. What's up? What's up,
Mario? You did. You know, why can't we get a break here? Evan's out, and we still got Nick haters on the line.
Well, that's Sean's fault.
Yeah, I know. You're the most objective guy, though, Tiki. You know, you had a very good point.
What's that?
When you were saying that the Knicks know how to get people to play. Hart and DiVincenzo weren't nearly this good
no,
as they got
never,
to the Knicks.
Never.
Not even close.
Well, you know what? Part of it is, Mario, they also didn't get, like, the minutes. Like, in previous stops, they weren't getting the same kind of minutes. Now, part of this is trust on Tibbs' part, but the other side of it, they were coached into doing their roles exactly as the team needed them to
exactly.
do it. And that's where
exactly.
you got to give Tibbs some credit.
Perfect. And the point I'd like to bring is that I looked at the betting sites. Six of them have the Knicks at 8-1 to win the NBA championship, and both Philly at 10-1 and Milwaukee at 11-1. So I don't know where you get this thing.
FanDuel right now, Philly and Oklahoma City, I'm looking at it right now, have better odds than the Knicks.
By what? By how much?
I mean, it's...
By minuscule.
Yeah,
how about
I mean,
give the numbers,
Oklahoma City's plus
800.
Philly plus 800, Oklahoma City plus 850, Knicks plus 950.
Okay, we're really close.
Yeah, I mean...
Nobody said you were catastrophically behind.
Yeah, so he used that, Mario. He used that point to make Oklahoma City feel like a betting favorite over the Knicks.
Even though
it's just that the New York fan hasn't started putting money yet.
Oh, and they will. And they will. And there's plenty of people that probably have inflated that Knick number. But the point remains, you know, everybody act like slam dunk, Mikal Bridges, here go the Knicks to the finals. They got a long way to go. They're the third best team in their own division.
I don't think anybody's thinking slam dunk the Knicks are to the finals after Mikal Bridges. I think...
Have you talked to Lugauer the last week?
Yeah, I haven't listened to the Lugauer yet. I have to listen to the Lugauer in podcast form. You can do so on the Odyssey app, so I see where Lugie's mind is. This is how I keep track of my partners in crime on this show. But I don't think anybody is saying Knicks are winning a championship. The only way I'll get to that point is if I see them balling, come the regular season, or really, it's after the midpoint.
I got to see sustained health after the regular season.
It's really after the the All-Star break and pushing deeper into the season. If I see the same kind of consistency, I won't say dominance because I don't think they're going to be dominant over a lot of teams. But if I see them just consistently winning, and I see the growth of whoever is new here in the void of Hartenstein, then I'll start saying, all right, this Knicks team really has a shot. I can't say it yet because the makeup of the team is different now without Ihart here.
Max in Woodbridge. Max, you're on the Fan. What's going on?
Hey, guys. I actually was going to bring up something like the last caller was talking about. Sean, you said earlier that Ihart went to OKC and they're a much better team or whatever. But a few days ago before the Ihart signing, I think the Knicks were second or third best in the NBA. It was Boston, Denver, Knicks. I think after the Knicks had Bridges, they went up to second, and now they're all Boston and then everyone else.
It's Boston, so Denver, Philly, Oklahoma City, Knicks right now on the betting.
Yeah, it's Boston's way higher than everybody, and then everyone else is kind of conjungled. So I think if the Knicks re-signed Ihart, we could have been where OKC is in those FanDuel betting odds, maybe second, third, or whatever. So,
It's also doesn't mean anything. It means something for me to use over and stir up Knicks fans.
Oh, yeah. And I'm not one of those Knicks fans that's going to call up and be oh, we're definitely going to the finals or whatever. I think we have a good shot. But
yeah, you're like me, Max.
In terms of betting odds, I think they're right where they should be. We're probably around the second to fifth best odds to win it. Boston's probably still the clear favorite.
I get it, Max, but when I say something everybody, Ihart took the most money, took the bag, all I'm saying for Ihart is he managed to find a place, and thanks for the call, where he took the most money, and he has set himself up with, in theory, a team that everybody in the league, or at least Vegas views, as having a better chance to win a championship than the Knicks.
But the construction of the team is important. It's how he's utilized on that team,
and
which is going to make a difference. And again, we don't know that yet. We will find out, I'm sure, in very short order, or at least once the season starts, whether or not it's a good fit for him or not. But at the bottom line for Ihart, he got paid.
Yeah.
He got paid more than what the Knicks could offer him. Not what they would offer him, what they could offer him. It's important to realize that he took the money. I don't blame him one bit. So good for him.
I will say one thing Evan does own to Odelugie. He can't be selling those Oklahoma City Thunder season ticket, that game. He's got to give him the loogie, I think, that night. You got to go give Ihart a little round of applause when he gets his tribute video. What do you think?
Yeah, that's fair. Evan didn't bring me to a single game this year.
He had to bring himself to a single game, which he didn't.
So. Right. The other thing I want to say, too, real quick, too, about the Celtics, they didn't beat the Knicks. So I got a message to Ray Martell and all the Celtic fans. You did not beat us.
Because you couldn't get there.
Okay, but because they got hurt. So a healthy Knicks team this year, we'll see what happens. That's all I got to say. They're the favorites. They're the champs. All the respect in the world. Good luck with your new ownership. But you didn't beat the Knicks. That's it. And you tiptoed to the NBA Finals, the easiest road in the history.
Because
you
root for an injury-prone team.
Okay, a couple guys got hurt and attrition won out. But we'll see this year.
All right. Nutrition or attrition? Jack in Staten Island. Jack, what's up?
Hey, what's up, gentlemen?
All's good, Jack.
So if the Knicks stumble next year at the end of the season, you think they'd put on a big push to get Danny Hurley?
Oh, man.
Because it would be perfect for him not going to L.A., and he's got the Knicks in his backyard.
But if they're going to go that road, thanks for the call. I think it's still Jay Wright if they go that road. Why wouldn't you? It's the Villanova Knicks.
How, Jay Wright has been out now for two seasons, right? Two college basketball, or is it just one?
No, it's two at least.
Two seasons he's been out. So he's, what, how
2022.
Old is he? So how old is he?
Jay Wright right now, hold on, I have this up. It was born in 60, 62 years old. So it's going to be now or never time.
Yeah, so he's still young enough to go jump in and be a head coach in the NBA. And it's not like, oh, he's only going to be there for a couple of years and he's going to be too old. So
yeah, Hurley's 12 years younger.
Right. And so, the age isn't the issue. The challenge is going to be convincing Dan Hurley that the Knicks job is more interesting and important to his legacy than staying at UConn and crushing a dynasty.
Yeah.
Because it feels like, look, the NIL issue in college basketball it's real. We know it. We've seen it. The transfers and all that other stuff is something that every head college basketball coach has to deal with. But if your situation is that you're going to you can recruit anyways, and that's what Dan Hurley has been able to do, then it's almost easier for him to like make his legacy solid by staying in college.
I agree.
And ultimately, I think that's what kept him from taking double the amount of money to go to L.A.
It's stability. Jim Calhoun did it forever there. He has no... If he wasn't leaving to go coach with LeBron and take a run at the glitz and the glamour of L.A., yeah. Why would he leave now? Again...
He probably told him, hey, we're drafting my kid, Bronny, so he's your point guard of the
yeah.
future.
Yeah, and he was like, yeah, I'm good.
Dan was like, yeah, you know what? I'm good, man.
Could you imagine taking that job and having... You have to coach this kid, but his father, who's not just a father in the bleachers, his father is LeBron James, who's also playing on the team looming over.
Yeah.
What an impossible spot for a head coach like that.
Not ideal.
No. Mike in Toms River. Mike, what's up?
John, Tiki, I just want to say it's an honor to talk to you guys. And Tiki,
appreciate
loved
it.
You as a running back. You're great.
Thank you, man.
I'm an athlete also in the sport you know nothing about. I retired about 30 years ago, 35, I was a wheelchair basketball athlete. Never made it to the Olympics.
Oh, wow.
But what I want to just tell people who are listening or fan, I did this with Francesa like 30 years ago. In the Paralympics, which has nothing to do with the Special Olympics, which are on immediately after the Olympics, okay? Yes. Okay, when that is on, right after the regular Olympics end, the Paralympics come in. And when you watch those, you should try to watch the wheelchair athletes because you see wheelchairs can't yet go side to side. But when you watch the plays developing, it's just so cool watching it. And it's just an amazing sport to watch, you know. And I'm just telling people if you get a chance, it's easy to see it on the computer.
I appreciate the public service announcement. The Olympics in Paris are right around the corner. Like, we're not even really talking about it.
And that's why I'm saying it. But, Sean, I got to go to town on you. You know, Sean, I am a big fan.
Okay.
I've never disagreed with you on anything. That's why I haven't called in a long time.
Move into my house.
I'm like 2 months older than Beningo, and I am an avid Knicks fan, and I really lost interest for a while and really was only paying attention in the playoffs. Followed them all year because I have two sons that are 44 and 35, and the daughter, and they're really into the Knicks, so I'm on the group chats with them.
Right.
But you could not be more wrong about anything you've ever said in my life. And I go back to the fan from the beginning, and I'm very realistic, and I'm negative on my teams. But Anunoby was a no-brainer, bro. Great.
Look, I get the points.
I just wanted to say one more. If you think that in 2 years we're going to go, oh, crap, he's injured, why did we sign him? That's garbage, because if you didn't sign him, you would just mull around in the middle, maybe make it. He's our only chance. And that's a chance every Knicks fan would want to take. And you're not a Knicks fan. And I don't want to accuse you because I think you play it straight. But I don't think you're playing it straight here. I don't view you as the type of guy that would just be negative to get calls.
No, I'm not. I'm saying what I believe.
Well, you know what's happening, thanks, Mike. Evan is out, and he's the head of the coalition of Knick haters. And so Sean is trying to do his best Evan. He's not really committed to it, so he's like half-stepping to get there.
He
doesn't really believe what he's saying. He's just being a hater, because that's Evan's job on a regular basis, to be a hater,
look,
as we all know.
Evan is a bigger hater than me. There's no doubt. I am not playing some kind of role here to take opposite. Lukey has sat next to me forever. I have been on this, I don't know what you guys are talking about, paying OG thing since before they paid him. For weeks I've been saying this. For weeks I've been saying
why are you so anti-OG?
It's not anti-OG. I am anti, and I've seen my own teams do this, paying guys who you could see down the periscope of, oh my God, if they're already having these injury issues now, what is that going to look like a year, 2 years, 3 years down the road? And I think it was compounded by the fact that you actually traded for Mikal Bridges, so you got a wing that could guard. I get it, not at the level of OG Anunoby. And for me, this is actually a credit, and I'm going to spin this to pro-Knicks. I trust Leon Rose that he knows what he's doing and that he can replace him.
It's so hard to find switchable wings, right? They can And Mikal Bridges is one of those to an extent. OG, switch him on to anybody.
No doubt.
You can put him on centers. Now, it's not going to be, you can't do it for long, but you can do it. He can hold his own for a minute. I think his skill set is so unique in the NBA that you can't let that guy go. Yeah, you can stack other, you know, forward slash guards that can maybe do something similar, but the way that he does it, and we had a caller earlier that called and said the beauty of him is that he doesn't need the rock. He's not. He doesn't want to be ball dominant. He can be if he needs to be, but He doesn't really. It's not his thing. He'll go stand in the corner. He'll stand at the elbow and wait for his opportunity to come. And then when you need him to go shut somebody down, he'll do it. So, like, that's really, really hard to find. He was almost not the absolute key, because that's Jalen Brunson, but, like, he was the key to unlocking everything that happened for the Knicks going down the stretch. And you saw it when he was out. Right, their win percentage was like 85% when he played. When he was out, it was by 50%.
Further proof that I'm not just saying this to be a hater. I'm the pulse of the people. I like to consider myself Tiki, little runner-up a year ago.
Were you really?
He was not the runner-up. Uh-huh. You were a nominee, one of, you know, 55
made
people.
It to the final cutdown.
Okay.
Pulse of the people. Kerry, your running mate, Deuce McBride jersey in Philly.
Yes.
Kerry messaged me all weekend about how much she hated the OG contract.
Really?
And she's a Knicks season ticket holder.
Yes, but Kerry is like...
A fair and balanced Knicks fan.
No. Fair and balanced, maybe, but very emotional. Like, she loves them to the point where she's going to get on it.
All right. Well, so, that speaks sense about speaking my language, because I love my teams too much.
You do.
I do. 888-808-1.
I'm going to have to write Kerry and get her in her.
Go ahead. She's not happy. She's very happy with the way I've talked for an hour and a half. 888-808-1019. When we come back... Apparently somebody wants to talk to soccer with Tiki.
Oh, nice. We talking Europa. We talking Copa America, MLS, Red Bull. Let's go.
And the Mets, the fun Mets, haven't won a game since they embarrassed the Astros on Friday night with a post-game concert. It's Sean and Tiki. It's Evan and Tiki here on The Fan. Now this, if I could get the microphone on for the 14th time. Now this is a hit song. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. The Mets are under 500 again. A weekend with the Houston Astros, which concluded with what felt like a 17-hour rain delay in between, only for...
Yeah, it was a long rain delay. But
it was. Only for Uncle Festa to come in and make his Met debut and implode.
Yeah, he goes in. I'm like, who is this guy?
Yeah, he had been pitched in El Paso this year before Syracuse, but the Mets had done that bullpen shuffle, obviously playing a man down with Edwin Diaz. Look, all is not lost for the New York Mets as they embark on what is actually an enormous four-game series coming up here with the Washington Nationals. But I will say, I think you saw a course correction over the last couple days, Tiki, in the Mets losing two games in a row. Obviously, the bullpen, which we've known all year is a problem, completely implodes, mainly on Saturday. Yesterday was, you know, running out of arms by the time he got to the 11th inning, and you're seeing the Edwin Diaz suspension really come to fruition right now, and the Mets two games back of a wild card, a game back under 500. But my biggest issue, and I'm curious where you stand on this. I talked to a couple people down in Houston, Tiki.
And?
A couple people who are around that team, not players on the team. And they alerted me and had texted me, what is going on up there? The Astros, from what I gather, were not thrilled with the Mets' antics Friday
night.
Were
they even around? That's the thing I wondered as I saw basically the concert on the field of OMG. Oh my God. By the way, we now know that it is OMG, not Grimace. That has precipitated this explosion from the Mets, because it's everywhere.
Yeah.
I mean, they do a concert on the field. But the thing I thought about was, are the Astros still there?
So, yes and no. It wasn't like they were in the dugout watching the concert.
They're not there.
It's blaring in the locker room. Hmm. They were well aware of it. They were getting ready. And it caused a lot of people to go, what's going on? What's going on here? And they were not happy with it. Okay, that's where it'll start right now. Now, I want to make one thing clear. I am not anti-fun, as some have alluded to. I think a lot of what happened with the Mets, they start with the fan with the rally pimp, then Grimace. I loved him drinking the Ford, even though they beat the Yankees. And clearly this song, which can be played in the clubhouse, as Mendy told us out at Citi Field, they played after wins, is playing after home runs. Okay, a little catchy or whatever. When it got released as a single... And they beat the Astros on Friday night, a team with championship pedigree, to give Iglesias the microphone on what was already fireworks night. You combine the two unintentionally, who knows? It became a three-ring circus celebrating a June win Friday
night. I wonder if that was impromptu or planned.
Well, fireworks night was already planned.
I know the firework night was, I know that was planned, but was the concert impromptu or was it planned?
Well, he can't go out there if they lose that game. and do that. So clearly part of the win
had to have been impromptu.
It had to have been impromptu.
So now what you're doing is criticizing. Think about how far down the standings the Mets were and how helpless this team felt for forever. And then all of a sudden, it just slowly starts to roll. Iglesias starts to rake. He's batting 400, right? Lindor starts to do what he does. And then J.D. Martinez, Nimmo can't help but get hits. You know, they lost the other night. They hit 3 hits, right? Like, it just felt like everything was happening.
Yeah.
And everything
the good vibes were there.
The good vibes were there. You can't knock good vibes, man.
So that's the threading of the needle here. It's not knocking the good vibes. And if I was a Met fan, I would have been super pumped. The month of June was incredible. And a lot of this stuff is fun. And when you have an infielder create a song and it's great, and Grimace and everything that went in. But Evan's out. No more AI songs. I'm banning them this week. Do not play them again. Oh,
my God. That's better.
That's better.
We can accept that one.
All right. They jumped the shark on fun, though, Tiki.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first 3 grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
I think in that impromptu moment, what was meant to be fun, I think that you had an opponent in the locker room.
You're the last person that I would think would go there.
No, and I think the league took notice. And here's the problem. When you are a 500 now, an under 500 team, you probably are what your record says you are. You weren't as bad as you played earlier in the year. You're not as great as the last month has said.
Very true. It's always that way.
You're a middle team. But when you are a middle team with major holes like the Mets do, clearly in the bullpen, mid but fine rotation, lineup has been cranking, so we give them all the credit in the world. Putting an extra target on your back and kind of poking the bear at an opponent is never a good plan because you have to answer for that. And yes, the Met bullpen is the main reason the Mets lost the last 2 games. But I also don't think it's coincidence that a team with championship pedigree across from that dugout was annoyed at what happened Friday night. Basically, a whole circus going on after they were beaten. Like a World Series had been won.
Yeah, but that's not why they won.
It's not why, but you know what? The Astros took note, and you can't tell me they weren't a little more locked in. Jeez, there were no hitting the Mets through 5 innings yesterday, too.
Yes, but the Mets just had a bad day. And then their bullpen got roasted.
Yeah.
Or Festa got roasted once he got into the game. And, yeah, were they leading at some point? Of course. But that was par for the course. You have rain delays. Sometimes you just never know what's going to happen, how they're going to come out of it. And as a result, they end up losing the series to the Houston Astros.
First series lost in a month.
And people want to find a reason. Right. In first and eight, right?
And
the first series lost in 8.
And it's probably a couple reasons.
Right.
But we, and the check marks of everything the Mets have done, and you and Evan arguing over Grimace and OMG and all
it's
of that.
It's not Grimace. It's OMG.
It's OMG.
It's always been OMG.
Which is fun. It's fun for the team. I think the Mets didn't even realize. I think they took it a little too far, and now everybody wants a piece of the Mets. Because the Mets went from fun to giving the aura that they're a little cocky and feeling themselves. And the Washington Nationals now rubbing their hands together. And do the Mets have the horses, especially in the bullpen, to answer for having a target on your back as a 500 team?
No, they don't in the bullpen. But I don't think that's why they've been winning. They've been winning in spite of it. They've been winning because they're putting up ridiculous run potential every single game. And so will the bullpen come back and haunt you in a tight game? Sure. But I think their focus has been offense. Offense, 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 offense. Let's let the bullpen worry about it. Let's get into these situations where we can throw Adam Montavito out there and waste innings or at least filler innings. And so as long as they do what they need to do offensively, you shouldn't be worried about this team. Now, if they do get to these close games against these better teams like the Astros, who are in the exact same situation as they are, by the way.
Peer tier.
Peer tier. Definitely a peer tier team. That's when you get worried. But you're going to lose some of those, especially or at least until Edwin Diaz gets back.
And even if and when Edwin Diaz, and by the way, Lou Gowers, we're going to get to in a sec, his face is turning red. It's like he wants to scream through the microphone.
Because you're making an excuse.
I'm not making an excuse.
You're making an excuse about the Astros being upset because of a party on the field.
It's a Tiki. If you guys,
they easily still could have lost that game. The Astros, I mean.
If you guys are playing, if you guys are playing Washington and you both have the same record in November and you know, I don't know, insert whoever, Alfred Morris had written some kind of song, and he takes to the field in Washington after, and you guys are hearing fireworks go off, and he's performing some song on the field. In the locker room, if somebody comes in, do you believe they're celebrating a win like that? They're not going to bother you a little bit?
I mean, maybe, but we'll just get them next time.
And that's what the Astros did. They got him, and now the Mets have to answer for that. And we'll get to Edwin Diaz in a second, but what are you all right?
Oh, I'm just peachy keen. Mm-hmm. This is what I would say to you, Sean. If the Mets woke up the Astros, good. Because they're going to be the Yankees' final boss.
No, oh, you made this about the Yankees.
So I'm glad you made it about the Mets. So I'm glad we lit a fire.
We haven't done the Yankees yet. The Yankees are awake. All is good again.
Two-team town. They lit a fire. That would be your final boss. Sean, this is clearly you being part of the No Fun Police. Mm. The Mets are having a lot of fun, and you, as a jealous, you know, Yankee fan, corporate Yankees.
Jealous.
They're not having any fun. You're seeing all this fun at Citi Field, and you are being the No Fun Police because you're saying there's too much fun going on at Citi Field.
I got to tell you, there is something to that, and we'll get to it deeper here.
Excuse me?
Hold on. It's not just about the fun. It's not just about the fun. It's about like the passion. Like let's think about what turned the season around for the Mets. The Mets were scuffling, and then they had the glove throw in Los Angeles, and it was like, oh, what the heck is going on? Team meeting. Now, I think we could kind of assume what went on in that team meeting. But when we had Mindy on at the Subway Series, he told us what went on. They were MFing one another. They were cussing, screaming, yelling, basically holding each other accountable. That is an emotional moment, right?
Yeah.
And so we saw what's happened. Lindor starts hitting. Nemo starts hitting. J.D. Martinez using as a catalyst. Pete Alonso is doing Pete Alonso. Like, things just got better. Edwin Diaz comes back. Obviously, Alvarez comes back. And all of a sudden, there's this emotion around this team that that wasn't there before.
True.
And so it was because they got emotional. Now, the Yankees, look where they're outkicking their coverage a little bit. Sure. Right? Were they playing above themselves? Sure. But when they hit their little wall, they couldn't get out of it. They were too good a team to not be able to get out of it.
And it felt hopeless for a while.
And it felt hopeless. And you know why they couldn't get out of it, I think? It's because they don't get emotional. They're buttoned up. Like they're we're going to do things the right way. We're going to, you know, say things the right way. We're not going to let emotion take hold of us until it does. And when did it? Marcus Stroman on Friday night screaming at Gleyber Torres for slowly trying to turn that
double
play.
Throw
the bleeping ball. By the way, I thought he was actually kind of on time. Maybe he just kind of didn't get a clean grasp, and so it came out a tad bit slow.
I'm trusting Stro. His eyes were closer than mine.
I would agree. I mean, I want to trust Stro, but looking at it, I didn't see it. Regardless, there was real emotion. And he was screaming at Gleyber. He starts screaming at him in the dugout. Aaron Judge has to come over and talk to Stroman. And he's not even telling him, by the way, which we subsequently found out, that stop screaming at Gleyber Torres, you know, calm yourself down. He basically went over there and said, I wish I would have played that ball earlier in that inning better.
Yes.
So he took he took personal responsibility.
Good
he
captain.
He put him on himself. This is great captaining. Forget good. That is outstanding captaining. So put it on yourself as opposed to drawing attention to whatever this circumstance is causing this strife in the huddle or in the dugout. And so they took that energy and then they turned it around. Gleyber Torres is now hot as can be.
Red hot.
Right?
Hottest hitter in baseball
Soto,
this weekend.
Despite being out with a hand injury, decides to play.
Yep.
Saying, Booney, sorry, dude. That's not an option.
Willis Reed who?
Right. I am playing today. And they got to win. So, emotion serves a purpose in sports. It just does. Like, we as fans have it all the time. Right? To think that the athlete on the field is supposed to be and play emotionless, you're bound to lose. Like, you're creating a losing environment and situation. The Mets have had it for a month now. Why would you ever shoot that down? Because the Yankees didn't, and they found it, and it got them a big win.
This is where I hold on you.
Yes.
Hold on, Teak. Hold on, Tommy. the idea that the Yankees, because they don't have a song that was written by a player.
No, it's not the song. It's just, it's an emotional reaction.
When they're barking like dogs, calling each other dogs, when they're doing the post game where they dress like Italian mafiosos in the suits, they're having their fun, but just not in an obnoxious, offensive way to other teams.
Okay, it's not obnoxious or offensive.
Well, clearly it was when you're having a post game concert with a player after you win a game in June and fireworks are going off as if it's a ticker tape parade.
It is still entertainment. It is still a vehicle for the fans to love this team even more.
And if I was a Met fan in the stands Friday night, I would have loved and gobbled it up too. But what I'm telling you is you don't understand the other side of it then.
I do. And I don't think that's why they lost to the Houston Astros and lost this series.
Maybe not why, but at least it put the Astros and now their future opponents on alert. We're tired of this team dancing like a 500 team when they're pretending to be like the biggest, you know, chest-bumping team in baseball.
Yeah, but they've been the best team in baseball in June.
Not the last 2 days they have.
It's July now.
Tom.
The Mets have turned their season around. They are having fun. And my message to Sean.
Last 2 days were fun.
All the other members of the No Fun Police, led by the power of positivity from Positive Tommy, a generational talent. We have the Rally Pimp. We have Grimace. We have OMG. We have Loogie. And I have discovered the final piece.
I love how he included himself.
The Hawk Tua girl! She's the final piece! The female Loogie! Hawk Tua! She is the missing piece!
What does she have to do with the Mets? She was at a concert.
We got enough gimmicks. Get her up here.
By the way, don't think she won't be. If the Mets have her come up and throw up a first pitch, wouldn't shock me at all. Also, can you just have a conversation? Why does everything have to be like a presidential address?
Because we're having fun up here. The Mets are having fun, Tiki, and the Yankees aren't. The Mets are the fun team.
It's fun being a game on the 500.
We're having concerts.
That's fun.
They have been the best team in baseball over the last month.
Oh,
you want to highlight the last 2 days, you know, your final boss, the Astros, the team you're going to have to face in October.
Paulie, I need
you in
here.
And you were having fun.
Paulie, I need you to help slide the A-Rod Day banner over. We need to hang a banner. It says 2024 Mets, best team in baseball for a month.
Yes.
Because apparently that's what we're celebrating.
Led by Loogie and Hawk Tui, girl.
Hawk Tui! And next to the banner, the picture of Loogie and the female Loogie, the Hawk Tua girl at the Mets parade.
This is why I'm a generational talent.
I am so confused how he continues to make everything about himself.
And the Hawk Tui girl.
And one more thing on the song, because now the song has been you talk about played out. Remember that Summer of Barbie Girl by Aqua?
Yeah.
You might have been in the NFL. We already reached that after 3 days here. Guys, I get it. Iglesias is not a real musician, and this is a really fun movement, and it's catchy. I will give it catchy. The idea that this, because it's climbed the charts because of its like uniqueness, is some kind of, and I've heard this word used, great song. Great song.
I mean, it's catchy.
It is not Livin' La Vida Loca, T.
Yeah, but it is. It is. It's theirs. It's New York. They own it. It's oh my God. It's, you feel it.
And to show you I am fair about this, one of the kindest, most gentleman athletes that has ever graced New York FAM with his presence is Bernie Williams.
Yes.
Bernie Williams is a good, not great guitarist. He is treated like a great guitarist because he played center field, but the Yankees can also play.
He's also a champion and a star human being.
But when Bernie Williams is basically playing at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, it's ludicrous that he has that. Iglesias didn't write and perform a great song. It's a fine, catchy song for an athlete. Stop calling it great.
Don't call for Ludacris because he might show up.
That's
right. Have you seen the commercials?
If Ludacris wrote OMG, you know what? He wants to go out and perform. That's one thing.
Yeah.
It's not.
Oh my God. Stop it. It's actually a good song. It will not be the song of the summer, unfortunately for you, Sean.
No, Shaboozy.
It will be Shaboozy.
Shaboozy.
Tell them bring another round. We need plenty more. Two-stepping on the table.
Oh, yeah.
Need a dance floor.
I love Shaboozy.
Just makes you feel good.
Good Lord.
Tell them we have another shot of whiskey.
By the way, Gleyber Torres writes that song? Fine. Perform it all you want after. 888-808-1019. Eric and Ron Kakama. Eric, what's up?
What's up, Eric?
Yeah, I'm going to go in on Sean. Because I had to hear him the other day, and I got to hear him again.
And you got to keep hearing it, Eric. What's up? And you're going to like it.
No, believe me. Yeah, I know. It's screeching in the ears. So the OMG song, right? Like, listen, as a Latino, yes, we back our artist a lot. But it's a catchy tune. But now this is a song that you'll probably end up hearing in like major soccer games, and it's number one. It's charting one in the Latin charts, right?
Yes.
So it is a good
Think
song.
About that. But now, think about that. The more we play it, the more we might be able to beat those stations that always beat us.
Who's beating you guys? Nobody's
the
beating
Latin
you guys.
Music stations.
The Latin music stations are the only ones that beat us.
Not in sports. Well, yeah, nobody in sports is beating us. I'm talking total.
But it's perfect timing with that song that it's not about slapping the booty. I wish it was, but it's not.
Sean trying to get one over on us yesterday.
I let that go for 4 hours, but, and it was my personal enjoyment.
But it would have been awesome if it was.
Right, but it's preaching, you know, just getting rid of all the negative, right? And embracing all the good. That's what the song is. That's what they're vibing with that right now. And you know what? Whatever works and we're getting these dubs, great. Now with Houston came in hot. Sure. All right. You're talking about two of the hottest teams in June.
Yes.
So, you know, there was a chance that we would lose two out of three. I didn't think we were going to lose all three. And there was a good chance that we could have won all three. I mean, all three games could have went either way.
Now, Eric, what if you lose three or four to Washington? Are we still going to be celebrating this OMG song? Or then it becomes a mockery for the Mets. You know that, right?
I hope not, because I'm going down July 4th, and then I'm following them to Pittsburgh. So,
nice. Good for you. That's a good trip.
Yeah, absolutely. So, listen, I mean, the next, 15 games that they got? I mean, it's teams that they should be. So, I mean, I'm hoping, a 10-5? 10-5 split. That would be great.
10-5, you'd be golden right now. Yeah. You'd be over .500 going into the break, right? It makes some of the decisions around the trade deadline a lot clearer. You know, coming out of the break, hopefully some of these guys are rest. Edwin Diaz will definitely be back, and hopefully back on form. So it makes things. If they go 10-5, I think it's actually. There's only 14. I think it's 14.
14,
right? Because they were 17 going into the weekend.
That makes sense.
I think it's 14. I might be wrong about that.
9-5?
Right. They go 9-5. Then they're sitting pretty come the second half of the season and can make the right kind of decisions, or at least David Stearns can, to determine what they're doing with the rest of this season.
Frank in Scotch Plains. Frank, you're on the fan.
Frank, what's up, dude?
Hey, guys. How are you, man? Tiki, really cool that you're into soccer. Couple things. I'm a huge New York fan, right?
Okay.
I'm big Yankee fan, big Giant fan. But I also grew up. I grew up watching soccer since I was a little kid. I actually played in high school as well.
Right. Where'd you grow up? You grew up here?
Yeah, I was born in Brooklyn. Grew up on Staten Island. Now I live in New Jersey. So, and Tiki, it's like I think soccer is a beautiful game. I think it's really strategic. It's really fun to watch. And as I'm watching the Euro Cup, you know, this past weekend.
The Red Bulls.
What?
Or FC. FC. NYCFC or Red Bulls?
See, that's the thing. I don't really follow the local soccer teams yet.
Got it.
I'm going to, because I got into this. I've been watching, you know, the Euro League and the Latin American teams.
Yeah.
And
Copa America's right now. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But the thing is, listen, I'm a huge NFL fan, okay? Big Giant fan. But the thing, when you watch a soccer game, it's like there's no commercials. There's nothing.
Yeah,
like,
no, it's true. It's 45 minutes of straight soccer. Then you get some stoppage time. And then you go to a little break. You get all the talking and the commercials. And then it's 45 minutes plus some stoppage time of soccer.
That's right.
And so if you appreciate what you're seeing, it actually becomes a really interesting sport to watch. But the other way to do that is to watch it.
Yeah. And by the way, halftime is quick, too. I barely got enough sushi and shrimp in my mouth in the suite the other night. The other half is starting.
So, guys, from a marketing perspective, right, you guys are a business, obviously, right?
Yes.
And today's economies are clearly global. Why, like, should you guys maybe put a little bit more effort into covering soccer, whether it be locally
or globally? It's a great question. And the short answer is yes. The long answer is a lot more complicated. So we've started to do a lot of stuff with the New York Red Bulls.
Yes.
And the Red Bulls is currently third in the table in the Eastern Division of MLS. They have some really good players, including Lewis Morgan, Emil Forsberg, who's international and came over for the first time this year. They had a frustrating draw this past weekend.
Yep.
For those who didn't know, they played DC United. DC United goes down a man, kind of like the U.S.
team.
With the red card in the 18th minute. And the only way they're losing the game is if they give up a free kick. They gave up a free kick outside the box for a goal, and they had to scramble to equalize it, and they ultimately did. But the challenge with soccer is that not enough passionate sports fans in this country know it. Right? They don't know how to get emotional about it.
Similarly to hockey.
Right. Yes, exactly. They don't know what they're watching per se to know what was a great play, what was a dumb play. And I'll go to the United States men's national team, which is playing this evening against Uruguay. Now, we all remember what happened if you follow soccer in their last match. They played Panama, who they are a superior team is. Tim Weah gets a red card for smacking a Panamanian kid on the head, gets red carded and sent off in the 13th minute. They score, U.S. scores, so they're 1-0, right. Then concede right before halftime, and then they lose it in the 80-something minute. So right now, the United States, who should be better than they currently sit, are playing for their Copa America lives tonight. Because if they lose, they're likely going to be out. Because Panama is equal with them. If they have a better result, then Panama is going to move forward. Then the U.S. is going to be out.
And Berhalter might be fired.
And Berhalter might be fired. Now, some people might welcome that.
Right.
Because he hasn't been fantastic. His issues with Gio Reyna and others over the last World Cup. So, I mean, soccer has we should talk about it more. Because it's a massive, major international sport. But there's not enough people that know it. That's the challenge. And unless you go to a game like Sean did this weekend, you don't pick up on why you should.
Yeah, I loved it. I loved the experience. I highly recommend anybody go to Red Bull Arena for a game.
It's an awesome arena.
Awesome arena. Awesome pregame, like the tailgate. You walk out, it was like go to a football game. The smells, the cornhole, everything was... I was amazed by the whole setup and everything. And I have been a big-time soccer hater on TV, maybe because I didn't understand it. It felt very boring and bland on TV. In person, completely different game. Similar to a lot of sports that maybe you don't like. I highly recommend it. And I think if you do go, it might interest you a little more. But to Tiki's point, look... You see it around the hockey playoffs, too, right? You know, like, I love the Rangers. Boomer does. CeeLo does as well. The last thing you want as an audience, if you are a fan of a sport, is listening to people who don't follow a sport hard enough or long enough trying to break down something where you know more than them, and then you just get frustrated and annoyed that we're talking about it.
You don't want to listen to it.
Right. It becomes a major turnoff to you, so it's kind of threading the needle there. So, yes, maybe it is part of us, if you're a big soccer fan, to push a little more. But at the same time, if not enough people fully understand the game and you know more, it's going to annoy you and tick you off.
Yeah, we just need our men and women from our United States men and women's national teams to do great at the Olympics.
Absolutely.
Which is coming up in Paris this summer. We don't even talk about it, but the Olympics is right around the corner.
And Tiki, if the U.S. loses tonight, they'll be sleeping in the Copa Cabana.